Ask that you remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon at this time. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You're reading verses 5 through 9. The living and active Word of God. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, open our eyes so that we may see wondrous things from your law. And now, in your kindness, allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be acceptable in your sight. We pray this through Jesus, our strength, our Redeemer, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. All right, I'll start with another question. Who in here has ever faced a difficulty? You can raise your hand. Maybe I should do that the other way. Who in here has never faced a difficulty? I'd like to see. I'm looking, watching. Okay. Okay. So, everyone in here has faced some kind of difficulty. Here's a question. Here's an observation. Some difficulties are more difficult than others. Some difficulties are more difficult than others. Here's the question. Why? Or let me change that interrogative. What makes some difficulties more difficult than others? If you have a wall full of difficulties, you know some difficulties are of greater difficulty than others. What makes them differ? That's the first question. I want you to think about that. Next question. Why would anyone willingly enter into those more difficult difficulties? Why would someone say, that's where I'm going to be? Why are there first responders when it comes to difficulties? Why is it that there are those that will run into those situations? And some people will say, no. Okay, those are the opening questions. Ready? We have seen that Paul wanted to visit Corinth again. He's writing from Ephesus. He wanted to visit Corinth again. He's planning a visit. However, we have seen that his travel plans were such that he's not heading back to Corinth just yet. Paul wanted to stay in Ephesus for a while and then head to Corinth for a visit, hoping to stay with them for an extended period of time. Right now, Paul wanted to stay in Ephesus, and our passage says for two reasons. Verse 9, he wants to stay in Ephesus, tarry in Ephesus. Why? For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Two reasons that he wanted to stay in Ephesus: an open door, as well as a door that was trying to be slammed on him, opportunity and opposition. Paul knows that they typically travel together. He has an opportunity with opposition, an open door, and he knows that there's somebody on the other side or a gob of people on the other side willing to push the door closed in his face. Those were difficulties. Paul wanted to face those difficulties in Ephesus. We tend to want only one of those. We want the open door. Isn't that pleasant? Isn't that nice? We want the open door. We don't want the closed door, the slammed door. We want the opportunities. We don't want the opposition. Just let's face it. In Ephesus, what were those difficulties? Here's a quick review, and I'm going to give them to you under three simple headings. Here they are: the Messiah, magic, and money. You can read about this in Acts chapter 19. There were issues with the Messiah. There were people of the religious establishment who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah. They urged Paul to get out of the synagogue, and they stirred up the crowds. Rabble-rousing, mob mentality, mob and gob mentality. So there were people who rejected Jesus the Messiah, and that was the first conflict that Paul faced, the first difficulty in Ephesus, about the Messiah. Next was about magic. Paul's preaching the gospel, and there are people who are saying, you know what, this magic stuff is ridiculous. I've got these magic incantation books, and they make nice kindling. So people were repenting of their deeds, their magic stuff. They were getting away from the evil spirits and the occult, and they were saying, let's burn this stuff. It wasn't a government-sponsored book burning. It was people saying, you know what, I got to burn this. This is just no good. I don't want it, and I don't want you to have it. And so they were. So Paul faced conflict and difficulties from magic. Well, there was something else going on in Ephesus, and that's the third conflict area, and it's another M. It's money, money. There were people turning to Jesus Christ and no longer following Diana of the Ephesians or Artemis. They were no longer worshiping a false god. And there were these businessmen who were making little baby shrines and little images of Diana. And they had a lucrative business. And people were saying, that's ridiculous. I don't want that anymore. I follow Jesus. And so nobody's buying. The market was plummeting on this stuff. And so people were pitching fits over this. So there was conflict over the Messiah. There was conflict over magic. And there was conflict over money. By the way, faithfulness does this. Paul goes in and preaches the gospel, teaches the gospel, and he's having a positive and a negative effect. There are open doors and there's opposition. This is just the way it works. You try to be faithful in the marketplace, in your family, with your friends, at college, at school. And you're going to find opportunities for the gospel and there's going to be opposition. Some people are going to say something about, you worship whom? Where do you get your guidance? And if you do that, you're likely not going to make as much money. Faithfulness to the Lord impacts your Messiah. Who's the ultimate authority in your life? Faithfulness to the Lord impacts your guidance, your evil powers. Are you going to take your guidance from magic? Or you take it from the word of the Lord. And faithfulness to the Lord affects the economy. Your economy. How do you spend the money God gave you? Imagine what would happen to certain industries of filth, if even those who claim the name of Christ would say, you know what? I'm shutting that down. I'm not even going to look there. I'm not even going to pay for that vomit. What would happen? Some people would start crying foul. But faithfulness to the Lord impacts Messiah and magical guidance as well as how one spends money. All right. That's a summary of the difficulties Paul faced in Ephesus. Now he's going to be dealing with additional difficulties, more difficult difficulties. The adversaries Paul faced in Ephesus were obvious. You can read about this, you can see it, hear it, it's right on the pages of the Bible. However, there are other difficulties that Paul was willing to face, and he was planning on entering into these head first or face first. There are additional greater difficulties that may not be so obvious to you. You're looking at this passage and you're thinking, where are the difficulties? I will share them with you. Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, so then that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Where are the difficulties? You don't see them. Paul wanted to visit Corinth again. He wanted to stay there for a while. Where's the difficulty? Some of these difficulties are from the past. Some may still be brewing in the present. Some may need to be addressed in the future still. What are the difficulties? As we've walked through 1 Corinthians, and were you to just sit down this afternoon and read all of 1 Corinthians, you would encounter some difficulties. There were some in the church in Corinth who had, and let me use the euphemistic phrase of the day, they had issues with Paul. They were holding issues with Paul. And Paul still wanted to go spend extended time with them. Greater difficulties. How is this more difficult than those difficulties he faced in Ephesus? People look at the stuff in Ephesus and go, man, that's big league stuff. That's grand slam action right there. Look at you. You're taking on the religious establishment. You're taking on the evil powers and the occult. And look at you. You're taking on, you know, people who are fighting you over money. That's big stuff. That's big headline above the fold, opening page of the news feed, right there. How is this more difficult? This desire to go back to Corinth, how is this more difficult than those difficulties? I'm going to give it to you in one word. Relationships. Relationships. The conflicts in Ephesus were predominantly with those who were outsiders. The conflicts in Corinth were predominantly with insiders. Those in Ephesus, they didn't accept, they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And some of us, we can walk right in and we can get all bold and all heated up over that and go, you know what, they don't follow Jesus, so I can throw down with them. There are people that are into the occult. You know, the lines are clear. You know what, you're over there and I'm over here. Oil and water, that's clear. I'm ready to fight that. I can walk right into that. And then money, you know, some people, oh, you know what? You got an issue with money. You're bowing down to money. I'm not bound by that. Those are all outsider issues, supposedly. But what happens when it's inside right here in the church? There are some difficulties that are more difficult than others. That's not all. It's not just that they could recognize each other. Paul could recognize some of the Corinthians. The Corinthians could recognize Paul, but there's more. They knew each other. They didn't just, hey, how you doing? They knew each other, but they could also rankle one another. When you get to know someone here, spend any time with anyone here, you're going to see the blemishes and the bumps, and you're going to see someone getting bothered. You're going to see that. We've already seen it. We've seen, and I'm not going to give testimonies. We've all seen it. You could say in personal relationships, you know what there is? There's a history. Oh, they got a history with one another. We tend to write it off that way. You know what? The Hatfields and the McCoys are going at it. They've got a history with each other. So here it is. Get to know anyone for any period of time, more than just a couple minutes, and this is what you're going to see. The sins will pop up and the botherations will surface. Offenses will be committed. It's inevitable. You will learn one another's buttons, and then you'll learn when to push them. Beep. Who are your closest neighbor? Husbands, wives, best friends. Sin. Trespasses will occur on your turf. So somebody then wants to say with audacity, with a gape-mouthed audacity, and their eyes rolling around, you mean even in the church? And I'll say, yes, especially in the church. And I'll tell you why. It's because we deal with sin here. We acknowledge sin here, and relationships happen here. And you know what's going on right here? Relationships through difficulties, through various and sundry things, buttons, botherations, bumps, blemishes, all of that. You know what's happening? Our relationships are getting stronger, and they're getting stretched out. Sadly, many of us want to avoid this, yet Paul's example is one that acknowledges it and is ready to deal with it. You think he's going to deal with it with a big club? How do you think he's going to deal with this? No, you know what? I know I've got a relationship with you, but I really don't want it. Paul says, I want to visit you again, and I'd like to spend an extended period of time with you. So, what are some of these additional difficulties? I'd like to share them with you. I'm going to give you four. I'm going to give them to you right now with a summary. Here's all four bullet points in a rapid fire. I'm just going to lay them out. There were some hot spots with Paul. By the way, that's the other thing. In Ephesus, it was outsiders. Corinth, it was insiders. But take note of this. You can see a conflict over there and go, ooh, that's rough. There's a lot of sparks. If there's a conflict that you're part of, there's even more sparks. But if there's a conflict that has you in the middle of it, oh, if you've got a conflict with when you're in the center of it, it's just on fire. What are the four things? I'm going to give them to you here. There were taking sides. Number two, Paul's limitations or weaknesses. Number three, there were challenges to Paul's authority. And number four, they were taking offense to Paul or against Paul. Four things. I'm going to take them in order. First one's the longest. Here we go. Hot spots, conflict points, greater difficulties. First one, the people in Corinth were taking sides. This was present in the church in Corinth then, and it is present in the church today. Then it was, hey, what's the problem? Today it's, hey, what's the problem? Paul was the one who planted the church there, and yet some were into partisanship. Yeah, Paul planted the church, but let me tell you what I want and who I'm for. Paul planted the congregation there, and some were going public about their preferences for Apollos or Peter or Christ, and they were saying things like, I am of, my identity is of Apollos. You're of Paul, that's fine with you. They were taking sides. Let's be clear. Being blessed by, being instructed by, being trained by someone else was not the problem. God, thank God for Apollos. The problem was that they were puffing up their preferences to the point, puff up on one side, where they were putting down other servants of Christ over there. And you know what? We think we can do this because we have so much discernment. You know, I want to tell you, these are my preferences. You know, I'm of Apollos. I'm not sure about this guy over here. 1 Corinthians 3:5, Paul actually had to ask this question. Who then is Paul? Who's Apollos? You know who they are? They're ministers, diakonoi, servants, through whom you believed. And as the Lord gave to each. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? They're ministers. They're servants through whom you believed. And as the Lord gave to each. What does that mean? You mean the Lord gave to each, to Apollos and to Paul? Yeah. And to each one of you. God gave you Apollos and Paul. How dare you then say, I am of... But I'd like to unpack this a little bit more. Apollos had gifts that Paul did not. It is likely that some in Corinth came to faith and to follow Jesus Christ through the labors of Apollos, and so they might have said something like this. We're talking about my generation. We're of the new generation. We get this. We get that. We understand these things. We're not of the old school. We're really not that much into Paul. So somebody says, you mean you don't really, you don't think Paul's... No, Paul's fine. We're just really not really into Paul that much. So when someone does that or this, they are pretty much putting their stake in the ground and they'll say, this is where I am. I'm not really a Paul fan. Not much of a Paul fan. So, you know, Paul heard about their divisions. Paul knows this. And Paul says, you know what? I want to come spend some time with you. You know we don't really like you. That doesn't matter. I want to come spend some time with you. Paul says, he hears this, that somebody's saying, I am of so-and-so, and other people were even doing this. You know who baptized me? You know who baptized our family? I want to tell you who baptized us. Paul knows that some prefer Apollos and some have been blessed by Cephas or Simon Peter. That's fine, Paul says. That's fine. Just don't sin with it. Watch your mouth. And remember, we're wearing the same uniform. We're both servants given by God. And so are you, by the way. So there's a bit of a rebuke in this, too. Paul knows that he is, in one sense, the Corinthians' father in the faith. He knows that. Thank the Lord for Peter, and thank the Lord for Apollos, and for the other servants of the Lord. But you know what Paul had to say, 1 Corinthians 4:15? For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul's not dismissing or disdaining Apollos, but he's getting at something, which is actually... This is found in a number of places today. This is similar to the sin of disdaining dad or dismissing one's parents. They are so yesterday. I need to move on. And you know what? Every godly parent in the world wants their children to press on with greater faithfulness. Every godly parent wants this. But every godly parent also weeps when their children go on from their parents with greater blessings and greater grace, and they go, oh, you didn't see this? This is the first arena of difficulty. It is an arena of knowing one another. There are relationships there, and that makes the difficulties more difficult. It's a matter of conflict. It was messy. It could still be messy, and Paul still wants to go there. He wants to be among them. Here's the question, why? Why? What would you do? Number two, Paul had limitations. Paul had weaknesses. Paul lacked certain things. Some in Corinth made bold to point out a number of Paul's weaknesses and limitations. You know what? There are a number of things that Paul lacks. Paul, they could have said, if they wanted to use the modern lingo, doesn't have the full package or the full meal deal. At least not the one that I or... And then we got together with some other people, and they agree with me. I'm speaking for them, but they agree with me that we would prefer. Paul is, let us say this, as a matter of fact, we can quote Paul on this. Paul is weak in certain areas. And I'm going to give one example here. Paul was apparently not that fine of a speaker. Maybe not all that polished. Maybe not all that deep. And you know what? Paul pretty much owns this. Paul says, yep. So they can point to his words. Paul even said this. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:1-4, and I, brethren, back in the days when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Kind of like Moses. Maybe stuttered. I don't know. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. They were in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Let's face it, and this is true of every... It's true of Apollos. It's true of Cephas. It's true of Paul. Paul was not as skilled as other preachers. Paul was likely not as scholarly as other teachers. Maybe he wasn't published, and he likely lacked that wow factor. Somebody could have said, just look at him. Look at him. That's the founder of the church? Look at him. Matter of fact, Paul had to bring this up again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. I'm going to read it to you. For his letters, Paul has to quote them, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Look at him. Listen to him. Paul has limitations. Paul has weaknesses. And Corinth was big into wisdom and rhetoric and oratory. And you know what? You know what the people that were really big into the wisdom and the rhetoric and the oratory missed? Paul was a gift. He was the gift that God knew they needed to shatter their big ideas of wisdom and rhetoric and oratory. It's a gift from the Lord. This is exactly what you need. You think you've arrived there. You've got that arrival-itis going there. This is what you need. Paul was also clear in this. He says, by the way, any of these blessings, it's up to the Lord anyway. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So some in Corinth were rather critical of Paul. Paul has limitations, weaknesses, lacks. Yet Paul still wanted to be with them for an extended period of time. He wanted to visit. Why? Number three, and these all kind of fit together. There were challenges to Paul's authority. There were challenges to Paul's authority. Number three, some in Corinth were very comfortable challenging or questioning Paul's place, his position, his authority, even as an apostle. This is a real issue, a real difficulty, and can cause tension in any relationship. Boss to employer. Appointed official from those who have appointed. Board of directors to the CEO. Son, daughter responding to mother and father. Some there were galled and bothered because someone else was in charge. Someone like Paul. I mean, look at him and listen to him. They may not like the way that he does things. They disapprove, so they vote down. According to them, his voter approval rating is very low. And so these were the people of fingers wet and in the wind. They'd always wet the finger and put it into the wind, voter approval rating low. I don't want that guy to lead anyway. So they get steamed and stretched out of shape when someone else is even trying to lead, all the while forgetting, I plant, this guy waters, God is the one who gives the increase. So these will be the first ones to pick up the data of the previous points. You know me. You mean some people are not really all that much for Paul? Some people are for Apollos? That's interesting data. Data point. Going to keep that. Put that one down. Oh, and you know what? Some people point out that Paul has some limitations. You know what? That's right. That's true, too. That's true. And then they're going to gather that together, put it in their bag, and say, see, we've got a whole pocket of concerns, a whole bag of concerns. When someone is acting this way, they are busy puffing themselves up, and it always leads to a put down of another. And Paul knows this is going on. This is tough. Paul knows this is going on. So what does he say, 1 Corinthians 4? He says, you know what? It's a rather small thing for me to be judged by you. You know why? It doesn't mean that Paul is Mr. Teflon. It doesn't mean that things didn't hurt Paul. Paul was in great pain over the churches. He's a human being. He professes finitude. He stumbles and falls just like everyone else. It's not that he goes, you know, I don't care if you judge me. It's just that he knew he had to stand before his judge. And he also knew that the congregation needed to stand before the judge. It's a small thing for me to be judged by you. Some were actually challenging his position as a servant of the Lord. And I look at Paul and I go, you wanted to go back there? You want to stay for months? Wow. Those are greater difficulties. Paul actually had to address some of these people. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? What a sad position to be in where he has to say this. But sometimes people need to hear it. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? And if I'm not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I'm an apostle to you. So there were people in Corinth saying, oh, I've got this great spiritual experience. And Paul says, I saw Jesus. Well, I've got this special gift, and I'm pursuing charismata because I'm pneumatico. I'm pursuing the gifts of the Spirit because I'm of the Spirit. And Paul says, I saw Jesus. We really don't want to go there, do we? This was a real challenge, a real difficulty, questioning Paul's authority and his place. And yet Paul wanted to be with the Corinthians and to visit them for an extended period of time. Why? Why? So, number four, people taking sides, people pointing out limitations and weaknesses, now challenges to his position and authority. Number four, what's this fourth one? People were taking offense at Paul, to Paul, with Paul, against Paul. Taking offense. You know what they would put on their clothing? Their clothing would be marked by offense. I mean, what are you wearing today? Offense. What are you going to wear tomorrow? Offense. My whole wardrobe's offense. That's what I'm going to wear. This was another hot spot, and again, this is only found in relationships. Remember earlier when we were going through 1 Corinthians? Mentioned to you, when we have relationships with one another in the body of Christ, we do not have hostage relationships where we're saying, you know what, this is what I want, you got to do it. You got to come on, over here. We have to have healthy relationships that are willing to say, I understand, I want to strive to understand you. I might be wrong in this. I'm not going to start with an accusation against you. I'm going to start with an inquiry. I could have missed this. Paul is the perfect example of this. He says, you know what, I can eat meat sacrificed to an idol. You know, I love being out there with the Gentiles. I love being out there. I want to interact with those people. But you know, I know some people in the church don't get it. Pastors need to learn this. We all do. It's tough. I feel like I can do this, and I can say this, and I can write this. It's a hot spot, and it's found in relationships. We have relationships with one another, and we're going to go, here's a button. Push, push. It's the red button. Some were ready to take and hold offenses against Paul. Why? Here's a suggestion. It's likely because he had a number of rather difficult things to say to them. Some hard words, some direct words. He dealt with some tough topics. And so people would say, you know what, I don't want to hear from him. I'm of Apollos. He's got weaknesses. He's got kind of a bloody little mouth speaker. I don't really get that. I've got weaknesses. I don't want to listen to that. Who does he think he is, challenging his authority? You going to talk to me now? Any one of these subjects, I'm going to mention a few, could have caused people to bristle. Could have been, you know what, I think I've got ants. People would be bristling. Paul challenged their knowledge or their presumed wisdom. You know, knowledge is found in Christ. Knowledge is found in something that you would go, it's moronic. Christ died. Christ gave himself. And Paul challenged their knowledge. In this, he's challenging their self-exaltation. Stop puffing yourself up, your prominence. Your status, your achievements, your superiority. He actually had to ask this. This is such a... For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? So the congregation has few that are wealthy and many that are not. What do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. It's all been given. Even this relationship? Yeah. This is their pride. By the way, all the way through, it's their pride. Paul repeatedly says, why are you so puffed up? That's what the Greek sounds like. Why are you puffed up? You lack humility. And here's one area where you lack humility. And yet we've had to say this. Some of you have had to say this to others. How come you're not repentant of that sin? You know what they were doing? They were glorying in the sinfulness of somebody's sin because they're so progressive. You know what? We get this. We can watch this. We can do that. We can go there. This one guy is with his father. What? And you haven't even mourned? You haven't even mourned? You're watching that and you're laughing? Don't even go there. Paul even says, I have to speak to you as if you're babies in Christ. And people go, all right, who are you calling a baby? Paul wrote this to the whole church. I have to speak to you as if you're babies in Christ. You're not that mature. And here's the tough thing about not being mature is you don't know it. I thought I was doing all right. You're taking each other to court, and you're going before non-believers. This is deplorable. Harken back to how C.S. Lewis opened Mere Christianity. I'm not going to get into the doctrinal squabbles with one another. It doesn't look good out there. What a horrible testimony. And you know what are we doing? You know what? This side, person on this side, can't get along with person on that side way over there. And then you're going to, you know what? We're going to settle this. Paul says, you're going to judge angels. Sexual liberty. Are you missing this whole thing on the body? You think you can do whatever you want with the body? Hey, body's for food. Paul says, yeah, that's a ridiculous notion. The body's for God. There are people out there that'll say, body's for food. I can do whatever I want with it. Just, move it and shape it and do whatever I want. Come on. Paul says, no. You're a temple. You're squabbling among yourselves. And there were doctrinal issues. All of this is doctrinal in a sense. Some were denying the resurrection. Paul spoke directly to them. And here, get a hold of this one. Sometimes Paul told them things that they said they wanted to hear, but they really didn't want to hear it. You're going to hear that. Go ahead and tell me. Hit me with your best shot. Go ahead and tell me. And then you tell somebody, and they're going to go, I didn't want to hear that. What do you get out of here? So, Paul was willing to visit this church again, to stay for an extended period of time, to stay with a number of those who had issues with him. Why? Why? We're done. We're done with just four issues, just four. Why? I'm going to give you the answer. Because he loved them, and because love is active. Consider your own relationships right now. I'm in a relationship and this is tough. This is really tough. You know what? Love is active. And love isn't always actively throwing down. Love is actively receiving and hearing. And you know what? I could be wrong in this. Love is active. You know, here, let's get straight. It is so easy to distance ourselves from one another, get away, get some distance, and then pretend everything is going just fine. Paul says, I'd like to be face to face with you. In the arena of relationships, things will come up and other things will get out of joint. Love works through those. This is what beautifies marriage, and this is what allows a marriage to look like the gospel. Living with sin, dealing with sin, not tolerating sin, but showing love and grace and mercy in the midst of... Oh. In the arena of relationships, sinners sin against one another. And you know what Paul wants to do? He wants to return in order to demonstrate his love for them, even those who were not too very lovely to him. Who is sufficient for these things? Who? Love is active. It's not always seeking its own. Hey, look, love is not always seeking its own. Paul models Christ in this. Love does not keep a tally of wrong suffered. He's not etching into his prison wall with all the marks. Oh, you know how many days it's been since they sinned against me? Love doesn't keep a tally, a record of wrong suffered. Oh, they did it again. And then we start looking for it. Then we start smelling it. Yeah, I bet you they're getting ready to do it again. I'm going to go ahead and mark that one down ahead of time. How does the Lord make our unloveliness lovely? But by loving us. So when it comes to taking sides, you know what? People were taking sides. And some people didn't prefer Paul. You know what Paul did? In verse 12, concerning our brother Apollos. He's our brother. We wear the same uniform. I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren. But he was quite unwilling at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. They're trying to put down this issue of, you know what, we're going to take sides, Paul or Apollos. You know what Paul does? Paul says, Apollos is our brother, and I've encouraged Apollos to come to you. I want him to see you, and I want you to see him. Deflates it. Paul has weaknesses. That's exactly right. Paul admits it himself. And in so doing, Paul allows for the grace of God and the power of God to be put on display. The Lord said to me, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You're right, there are weaknesses. Every one of us. Every one of us. So what good does it do for us to start throwing shots back and forth and say, oh, you got weakness. Yeah, you're right. This way God's grace can be seen and His power can be made manifest in my weaknesses. That's right. This is the gospel. Next, the numbers 3 and 4, people were challenging Paul's authority and taking offense against Paul. And you know what he does all the way through? Points to Christ. Points to Christ. You know what? You're going to take offense at me? There are people out there taking offense at Jesus Christ. I would like to point you to Jesus Christ. He's going to point to Jesus Christ and show that model love. And by pointing to Jesus Christ, you know what he does to the congregation? He's asking a question of them. In what ways are you demonstrating the love of Christ? In what ways are you demonstrating the love of Christ? So there are difficulties and there are more difficult difficulties. They're usually found in and around relationships. Why would anyone enter into those? As Paul says elsewhere, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. We've got to. Well, what if somebody holds their position? Well, let me give thanks that Christ holds his position. What if somebody holds their opinion? Let me give thanks that Christ holds his opinion of us. Well, what if they say something to you that is more harmful and more hurtful? Well, let me point to the word of Christ and the word spoken that I and we are his child. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may he cause his beauty to rest upon us. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. Beautify our profession and our confession and our every activity to the glory of your name, for the beauty of your bride. We pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, and amen.